Welcome to this special Yachting Monthly podcast with me, Kerry Herford-Jones. Skippering a novice crew and sailing with friends and family isn't always easy. But get it right, and they might, just might, want to come back again, said Rachel Sprott in her recent Yachting Monthly article. She continued, they say that relationships formed at sea can founder on shore, but sit back with a glass of wine in a busy marina and you'll find evidence of the reverse. Rachel was ashamed to admit that until recently, she'd never taken her friends sailing. However, after buying her boat, a Luders 36 Nimrod, last summer, she thought it was time to remedy this. So, how did it all go? And what was the reaction from her friends to her leadership? The big question is, were they still friends at the end of the trip? In this episode, we're about to find out, as I get behind the Yachting Monthly story and ask one of her crew, Sally Ann Lim, for her take on the whole experience. But first, I asked Rachel, what gave her the impetus to write Sailing with Friends for Yachting Monthly in the first place?
Well, we had been talking about doing some articles on how to sail within the magazine. And I suddenly thought that actually I'm coming at this from the perspective of a sailing instructor that's been teaching people to sail in a very kind of structured environment for the last kind of 15 years. But I haven't actually taught my friends and family to sail. I was taught as a child by my mother, who was also a sailing instructor, trying to kind of teach her family how to sail. So I was sort of on the receiving end of it. But until I actually had my own boat in the middle of last year, I hadn't really taken my friends out and taught any of them how to sail. So it suddenly occurred to me that that was actually a really different kettle of fish, and probably also a bit more relevant to a lot of the readers, because so many people end up in a kind of instructional capacity as skipper on board. And that's as much a challenge as the kind of hard skills of actually sailing the boat as well.
So you had this concept, you had this idea, and Sally, the phone rang. What happened?
I think we had potentially been sowing the seeds of this with Rachel for a while, as we've switched, as she said in the article, from pubs to more sort of, you know, pastoral pursuits, that we've started to go on long rambling walks, which do still visit a pub en route. But I think through this and knowing her interest and her passion for sailing, I've always been really interested to get involved. So to be honest, I think there was a very delighted crew of people when a sailing WhatsApp group was created, and we were all too happy to say yes.
So you switched the pub to pub by walking to a pub by sailing then, Sally?
I mean, I wouldn't like to admit to being so predictable, but yes, in a word, yes.
Thank goodness for that. You're going to do really well on the water and through this whole podcast today, I'm sure. So we've got some volunteers then, Rachel. Who else was part of the crew on the day, apart from Sally, obviously?
So we had two other friends from university, both from the same college, which were Helen and Julia, one of them living in London and Helen living in Cambridge, and both first-time sailors as well.
What was the real difference for you as skipper between having students on board the boat as opposed to, inverted commas, friends to start with, certainly?
Well, I think there's a very different dynamic. For a start, you kind of already have a dynamic that you're bringing to the boat, which is the way you are with your friends and family, which isn't necessarily a sort of someone in more of a kind of leadership role. So that's a kind of challenging difference that needs to be kind of navigated. I think the other thing is that when you're working as an instructor, you're kind of there to work, and you hope that you're going to have fun, and if you're having fun then everyone else is probably having fun, but you don't really focus on whether or not you're going to have a really fun weekend. Whereas if you're sailing with your friends, then everybody's there to have fun and they're kind of expecting you to have fun too. So it's a very different sort of mission from the outset, and perhaps the kind of training element of it is less important and the social side of it is more important. So yeah, really different sort of set up to working as a sailing instructor and running a kind of typical RYA course.
So you came down to the boat, Sally, you had a friend, then became a skipper, a leader. How did that work from your perspective?
I mean, you know what? Rachel has always been totally unflappable and practical, and I think has always held that role within our friendship group. And actually, so much so that when she left university and we all graduated and went off to our various pursuits, actually, when I think about it, it perhaps wasn't so extraordinary that she chose to go into sailing. But I think I would say that her unflappability continued into her ability to command a crew of total novices who were, quite frankly, there for a good time as well as learning to sail.
But you, I know, had a very pertinent question for Rachel during that initial briefing, didn't you?
Yes, I hate to be the one who is sort of catastrophizing, but I attribute it to the fact that both my parents have pilot's licenses and fly small planes. So I guess the number one thing I've learned in the cockpit is, God forbid, what should happen if my pilot becomes incapacitated? And I think I naturally took that into the sailing setting and asked the very critical question of Rachel, what do we do if, for any reason, you're not able to command this vessel?
And the answer was?
I think a very sort of a sharp instruction to sound a mayday. I think particularly because we were in the context of sailing on the Solent, where other boats would be able to come to our aid, not least because we would need somebody to attend to Rachel for whatever had befallen her, but because particularly with three of us novices on board, it might be tricky for us to actually take command of Nimrod. Then she very sagely advised us that before getting onto the phone to the Coast Guard, sound a mayday to make sure that everybody's there and looking out for you and going to come to your aid.
Rachel, sounds like you actually got the briefing spot on.
Well, I think I was a bit taken aback by the question actually, because it is kind of the elephant in the room on a weekend like that. And I sort of had thought, well, it's really unlikely, and I don't really want to scare anybody, and I'm sure this is not necessary. And of course, actually, if it had been a real course, then I probably would have covered it. So, yeah, it was completely right to have it brought up, and the answer is definitely just get help. But I was a bit taken aback. It took me a while to think through exactly what the right answer was to that one.
So, Sally, we need you on the boat every time then to ask the question the
Ask
skipper
the
doesn't
awkward questions.
I see, that's the thing. I think because I'm just so used to my father being very officious with his safety briefings, then I feel like he's primed me to ask these questions. So it wasn't a lack of kind of faith in Rachel's abilities or desire to sort of compromise her in any way. It was just purely a kind of like practical head on my shoulders thinking, crikey, what do we do if, God forbid, anything should happen?
And amongst all the safety briefing, amongst everything, of course, the one that visitors, first time visitors, particularly on a boat, get the full unexposed version of, being boat owner myself, is how the heck does the toilet work? A short but sharp briefing, Sally, necessary?
Very, very short and sharp, but clear number of pumps for, various different evacuations, as to what wanted should do, but, just practical and to the point. And I think you do just need to be quite candid about these things. I think perhaps being friends makes that easier. But yes, I was certainly relieved to know what I had to do with the facilities on board so that I didn't risk the friendship.
Oh, believe you me, Sally. I've shaken my head now over the number of friendships that have been sorely tested over the years by the wrong things going down the toilet.
The wrong number of pumps as well, I
Oh.
think, source of conflict between my parents.
Anybody who owns a boat now listening to this podcast today is just going, yeah, I know exactly where this is going. I know exactly where this is going. So let's have a look at the day then itself. Rachel, you obviously had a plan in your mind as to how the day was going to shape up. Between the planning stage, the delivery stage, and the actual doing stage, how did it work, first of all, from your perspective, in terms of setting out the day?
Well, I think we were really fortunate with the weather, and it was very kind of benign conditions, but good sailing weather. I think we had a kind of force four sort of westerly or northwesterly. So that really helped us shape the day, and we were able to just spend a few hours doing some training and some briefings and familiarisation before actually heading out and sailing over to Cowes for the night. I had been really tempted to go a bit further because I absolutely love the kind of western end of the Isle of Wight, and I had this kind of romantic vision of us all going for this lovely long walk. But actually, realistically, in a weekend, that's quite a long way to go. And it would have just meant we put loads of pressure on ourselves to kind of get there and didn't really have enough time to sort of relax and enjoy it along the way. So we went to Cowes instead.
And there are times when actually just keeping it simple makes the day work better, doesn't it?
I think so, and I think the challenge when you're skippering is actually finding the space for you to relax as well as everybody else, and kind of creating those openings where you can sort of actually say, no, we're well within our comfort zone, and this is going to be fun, and we can just play around. I think that's probably key to the sort of friends and family side of things.
And Sally, at what point did it move from a, oh my goodness me, there's an awful lot of information coming my way, to actually, this is actually working and we are having fun?
Oh, well, I think Rachel's efforts to kind of think in advance about how to structure the day really bore fruit, because I think we did find it very intuitive and simple. We had a period where we felt a little bit safer, where we were able to kind of do a few drills and maneuvers, probably not the right word, sorry if I'm showing myself off as a poor student, but get some practice in and kind of understand what we were doing before we were in more of a kind of exposed setting. And then when we did actually sort of depart and make the crossing over to the Isle of Wight, I think we felt a real sense of achievement, because we felt by then we'd slightly got it in our stride and had a little bit more of a grasp of the basic tasks that we were performing, but felt a little bit more confident in doing something that for first time sailors did feel a little bit more, out there. But yeah, with the confidence that we'd got a few things practiced.
Was there fun being had? Did the expectation go from nervous enjoyment to actually, we're really enjoying this?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. I think once I felt like I found my sort of speed and had got some of the, knots down and things like that, it was kind of positively euphoric. I mean, we were really lucky with the weather as well, which I have to say, I think probably helped quite a lot. But sailing over to the Isle of Wight, looking back at the mainland, I hate to be a predictable cliche, but there was definitely quite a lot of Instagram storying going on and documenting not only what a nice time I was having in person, but also for perpetuity.
There's going to be a time, Sally, when you're going to keep coming back on your timeline to go in. Do you remember that day we went out on Nimrod?
I know. Oh, 100%. I mean, we've got a few other mementos. I don't know, Rachel, if you've shared this in the briefing. Actually, we discovered that Nimrod, in particular, as a vessel, had quite a storied history, so much so that a previous owner had written a book about Puddin the cat, who had been on board the vessel and travelled and adventured around the Bay of Hong Kong, I think, predominantly. And there was actually a copy on board, which my friend Julia took a real shine to. So I actually, after the event, bought her a copy, so we must get Rachel to sign it when we next see each other.
Rachel, that is a lovely, lovely thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great actually. One of the reasons I love the boat is because she's got this kind of history and she's been really loved. And then I think Julia and Sally and Helen were reading this book out over breakfast. I think there was everything from kind of joy and laughter to tears at the end of it, because there is a bit of a sad twist to the tale. So yeah, it was great to sort of have everybody involved in the history of the boat, I suppose, as well.
As Rachel said, there were some tears that came out. But it was brilliant to learn about not just why Rachel loved the vessel from a practical perspective, but as she was saying, the kind of story behind it. And I think that really bonded us to the boat as well.
So, Sally, the real question we have from the experience on the water on the day is, would you go sailing with Rachel again?
100%, and I'm slightly disappointed that we haven't got a firm date in the diary, but no, it was a brilliant experience. So if Rachel would have us again, and have me in particular, because I don't think I was that great on the helm, then I would very much welcome a return visit.
Well, that's firstly complete nonsense about not being great on the helm, and secondly, absolutely, Nimrod is crying out for your return trip. So yeah, let's have an immediate diary session after this.
Brilliant.
Just a couple of final things then. Sally, best bit of the day for you, your most memorable bit when somebody says to you, what did you do at the weekend? What's the one story that you always go to?
Oh my goodness. Well, I think Rachel mentioned it in her article, but when we decided to extend our sort of our return leg so that we could take in more of the views, and inadvertently got in the crosshairs of a race. So it was quite daring and quite sporting, but definitely made for a memorable return journey.
And Rachel, what was the most memorable bit for you for the day?
I think I would probably agree with that. I think weaving our way through the race boats, perhaps not entirely to their liking, but it was quite exhilarating for us.
And for both of you, just I need to know, because we're going to ask the question, is what pubs did you visit?
So we went up to the Folly, so kind of halfway up the River Medina, sort of beyond Cowes, partly because Cowes was really full and there wasn't much space at the inn, and also it's just a lovely kind of quiet spot up there. They were actually just in the middle of preparing for a major refurbishment, so they were quite generous with the sort of ends of the bottles of wine that needed drinking up before they finished sort of shutting for the work.
That's very noble of you. And Sally, you're now a proper sailor now. You visited the Folly, you know that.
Oh, I hear that. That's sort of how I earn my stripes. I didn't dance on a table, and I would also like to disclaim we're not the reason that they closed down. So I'm sure they'll be back and thriving. I'm very grateful for our assistance in winding everything down pre-renovations.
You've both done your bit for the sailing community. Thank you both very much indeed for joining us for today's special Yachting Monthly podcast. I hope you've enjoyed yourself, Sally. First of all, to you, anything you'd like to say in conclusion?
I mean, so enjoyed it. Thank you very much indeed for having me as a guest, and I very much look forward to being a guest or sailor, or you know, novice sailor on Nimrod again soon.
I cannot wait to have the 2023 reunion of the university crew go sailing, so maybe watch this space, maybe there's another episode in it.